The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Merrill Hodge said that Drake May is the kind of guy that's going to cost somebody a job. And unfortunately, well, fortunately for us, it was nobody on the Patriots staff. But after that game, and with the disappointment that bounded through Chicago like the Chicago River, the beers flowing from the taps and the deep dish pies, someone did lose their job. Shane Waldron, offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears, was, in my estimation, and I'm not just saying this because I know Andy has a personal relationship with Shane, was scapegoated this morning and dismissed as the OC of the CBs. No, Drake May and the Patriots didn't cost him his job. What cost Shane Waldron his job is a head coach that I think is an absolute bozo. There's plenty of talent out there, but also a quarterback that needs to learn how to play the NFL game. We were just lauding in the opening portion of the podcast today before we steered into the Pat's Puri here. We were lauding Drake May for learning, as big as that arm is, and as much as he wants to hit a home run, I'm sure every time he steps back in the pocket that quickly collapses, as Caleb's pocket collapses that much quicker, he refuses to take the profit. And now so much so that he's jittery when he throws short passes. His quarterback brains are scrambled right now. He has no idea what he's doing. And yet this is somebody we were told is a generational talent. So, Andy, I figured I would just turn the floor over to you as well. I'm sure you agree with me that Shane Waldron getting dismissed, while he was not doing an A++++ job, at the same time, to just blame one individual person for the shortcomings of a team with a garbage offensive line, frustrated elite athletes that aren't working together on the same page, and a quarterback that seemingly just can't grasp how he needs to grow and evolve his game, leads to somebody getting canned, and it's unfortunate.
So I'll say this. I don't think the Bears linemen choose not to pick up Caleb Williams because Shane Waldron's a bad coach. And that, to me, is the root of their issues. You got a douchebag at the quarterback position. And when you have a douchebag at the quarterback position, setting the tone, the tone setter, that is tough to overcome, in my opinion. And I'm not going to say Shane Waldron did a great job. I'm not going to say he was even maximizing the talent. That's fine. You know, Billy O'Brien didn't do a great job with the Patriots last year. I like him. I think he's a competent coach. But the roots of those problems, you know, Bill Belichick started the year taking pot shots at Ryan Pace and the offensive line he put together and the roster he built. And I think that's a big part of it. I think, quite honestly, just keeping Matt Eberflus to start the year, or Eberdus, as Greg Donahue called him.
He's not the only one to call him that, by the way.
Yeah, like some of his players.
Literally, Andy, from in the 300s, I was up there, just fire Eberflus. Like, he was hearing it so bad from his fans. You wouldn't believe it.
You run my guy out of town. But which is fine. He can move on. You know, it was doomed to fail because Caleb Williams is going to make failures of most of his coaches, in my opinion. I think that guy has some real soul searching to do as to how he wants to be as a leader and as a player and all of that that goes into the quarterback position. And he has the talent, he has the ability, but right now he just holds on to the football way too long. He's not He's not doing anything well.
What's he looking for, Andy? So what is going on? Like, what's going on? Because offensive coordinator always had, like, here's your hot route. Here's your check down. Here's your profit. Here's the big shot. Here's what we're looking for here. Why is he why can we see him thinking? Why is he not just reading and reacting and using the treasure trove of physical tools that he has? Because he does. Well, he's stagnant right now, and he's supposed to be quick and electric.
This is what he did last year at USC. He held onto the ball too long, wanted to turn everything into a highlight reel play. He needs to be broken. He needs to be Brian Daboll'd, just like he did with Josh Allen when he broke him down and built him back up and said, hey, jackass, you don't always have to go for the 25-yard pass. You can go for the 4-yard pass. And sometimes the 4-yard pass will open up the 25-yard pass later. Sometime move the chains. You know, Mac Jones said a lot of dumb things and did a lot of dumb things. But Mac Jones' quote about you'll never go broke if you always take a profit was one of the few things I really agreed with him. Quarterback position is taking what the defense gives you in the NFL, because if you try to take what they don't give you, in the long haul, it's not sustainable. It won't work. And that's what Caleb Williams was last year at USC. It's what he is right now with the Bears. So they're just a mess, and people deserve to lose jobs. Probably Eberflus, probably Ryan Pace, probably the whole damn organization needs to get blown up because you can't fire the quarterback. Really? I mean, you just drafted
him. Poles has done a good job of got Caleb the receivers, got him a good running back. They fixed.
I don't know if he did a good job. Is Keenan Allen done? Is Keenan Allen still good? You know,
they've looked good at times this year.
Against some bad teams, but utilizing the assets instead of building the line as Bill Belichick would have advocated for. That's a definite criticism. I do enjoy for one bit the fact that everybody around here, including my afternoon show radio partner, Christian Arcan, was like, the Bears did it the right way. They surrounded their top three quarterback pick with all this talent. They gave him a great team to go win and blah, 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 blah. How'd that work out for you? As the former host of the afternoon program on WEEI said, how'd that work out for you indeed? Because the Bears are a mess. They're more a mess than you are.
And here's a huge mistake. I saw Peter Schrager talking about this morning on Hello, It's Touchdowns. The whole entire idea that, like, they get rid of Getsy. He stinks. He gets fired from the Raiders gig as well. They bring in Shane Waldron. I don't know what the conversations were like. I don't know what, if you're going to bring in Caleb Williams, maybe Shane Waldron's offense doesn't fit a guy like Caleb Williams or vice versa. Meanwhile, Cliff Kingsbury, who knew how to speak to and work with Caleb Williams, comes into Chicago, takes the interview, and then Eberflus is like, nah, I'll pass. And my buddy who I went to Chicago with this weekend, who's a diehard Bears fan, said, my guess is that Eberflus is so not confident and couldn't handle somebody who's like handsome, has swag, and could be a great offensive coordinator, get more shine than him, and possibly a head coach in waiting should Eberflus shit the bed and then get canned. So it was like, no, I'll take Shane Waldron. Like, when could in be. Fact, like, Cliff Kingsbury was right there, and look at how well he's doing. Jaden Daniels, they lose a game by 1 point this weekend. They have their true north. The needle up there is pointed up. The Bears are in the tank right now. Let me ask you this. What do you think Drake May would do? Give Drake May Roma Dunze and DJ Moore and, you know, Swift or Cole Kmet, or just give him three of the playmakers on that whole cachet of weapons they have in Chicago. What do you think the Pats offense would look like?
It'd be much better. Definitely. And because I think Drake May is doing a pretty good job living the life of a bad offensive line, even though the offensive line was better this week against the Bears and only allowed that really one ugly Onwenu sack early. I think they'd be better. I think they'd have better leadership. I think you'd see happier targets because I think Drake May has a connection with his targets and is able to do that. I think he would absolutely use Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet was the lost guy for the last couple of weeks, and I think he's too good a player to not be involved.
Where has he been?
Terrible. Yeah. Not using him between the numbers. Even when they used him, it was only outside the numbers late. Made no sense to me, and I guess that's probably a criticism of my guy, Shane Waldron. But you're right. Shane is not a strong personality, or is not something overbearing that I think a head coach would fear. This guy's about to take my job. So maybe that is why they hired him and maybe wouldn't go with a guy with a stronger Q rating and personality like Cliff Kingsbury. I don't know, but it certainly didn't work. Everything they planned this offseason, from the coaching through the talent, has been an absolute disaster, to the point where I do think it's quite fair to say May and Daniels should have been in the running for the number one pick, and Caleb Williams is proving all those people that thought he had red flags and character concerns and makeup concerns. he's proving those people right through the first couple months of his pro career.
A couple other questions here on the back end during the Pat's Puri portion of the latest Six Rings in Football Things podcast. What do you make of this little thing? Like, it's like Gerard Mayo. Things are going so well. Yeah, but you know what? I kind of need to create a new little mini controversy. And I'm gonna tell Kendrick Bourne you're not playing. But I'm gonna play KJ Osborne. But this is after I tell Kendrick Bourne that I need to play the young guys. But then I'm gonna play one of the old. What is he doing? What is the deal with this receiver? Like, what's the deal? Why didn't you just make a trade then? Trade Bourne or trade Osborne. So you've got one veteran voice in the receiver room. Have him know that he's not going to play quite as much, but he's a valuable portion of the room and the team. Instead, you mix and match with these two guys, and you got the young guys all over. Like, I get that. But, like, does this seem like another one where it's like, this is where Gerard Mayo's out making mistakes or just showing that he really still needs to grow as a coach?
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coach.
So there's layers to this. I think first and foremost, my guess is you really couldn't get anything for either of the receivers, Osborne or Bourne. You don't just want to cut, certainly Bourne, because you gave him $4 million and extended him this offseason. Why you don't really want to cut Osborne, I'm not sure. I would cut him. I think he's useless. He popped off the social media crap, all of it. But it's definitely a bad look to kind of have this idea. We're going with the young receivers and then Osborne's out there a ton. I don't really get it. And I'd also, to me, even though he's not young, you should invest some time in Bourne because you invested money and he's coming off an ACL. And I think you want him to be, at the very least, your fourth receiver next year, moving regardless. You know, you could go get T. Higgins, a draft pick, keep Douglas and Bourne, and maybe that's your core of receivers next year.
And Booty.
And maybe Booty. I'm still not total. We'll find out about Booty. He makes plays for them. He's also, his effort is not, he doesn't go into the corners and get the puck by any means. He'd fit in on the Bruins right now. I think his effort is questionable. Because he needs to fight for the football. If he fought for the football, there'd be less interceptions and there would be more completions. But he does make plays, which on this team is absent. So if you make plays, you earn yourself more opportunities to make more plays. But I think Bourne should be here as a veteran presence moving forward, and yet he's just
he'll be even better next year.
Like, yeah, if you're going to bench him, honestly, I would have made up a, he's got swelling in the ACL knee. We're just going to sideline him.
Maintenance week. It's going to be a maintenance
week. No, I would put him on like IR and just be like, he sore hammy because of the ACL, something. Make something up and let him sit for the rest of the year.
What about Jalen Polk coming back and catching a touchdown? Was that a nice, it's far from full redemption, but is it a start? I still don't know what to make of him.
I don't either.
I'm hoping that maybe he calmed down. And we'll see what he does over the next couple of weeks as well, because he'll be going up against some secondaries, or at least especially this week when they take on the Rams, where there may be some room to feed as well.
There also may be room for Jared Verse to feed on Drake May in this offensive line.
That guy, look what the Rams did with their first round pick in 7 years. That kid can get after it. But Darian Lowe, watch yourself. Last two questions. Andy, do you think with the deployment of Brendan Schooler as a sort of like spy, linebacker, safety, hawk, whatever you want to call it Sunday, blitzing him, I mean, dude could get the speed he showed on that blitz. And of course, we know his relentless pursuit capabilities from all the quality special teams play. Do we see both DeMarcus Covington and or Alex Van Pelt get more creative with the use and deployment of some of the more talented, underrated players on the team? Because I hope so.
Well, first of all, I kind of beat this drum postgame that if Bill Belichick had done this, we'd be building another statue to him. Oh, my God, Bill finds guys. He puts guys in roles that no one would ever think of. And I don't think it's getting enough attention for Gerard Mayo, who said in the summer, we're not just going to pigeonhole Brendan Schooler as a special teamer. We're going to give him opportunities to practice on the defensive side of the ball. And it paid off. It makes sense. You know, as John Jones told us yesterday in our interview on the afternoon show, we know Brendan Schooler's fast and he can tackle. So teach him a couple formations, and that sounds like a defensive player to me. And that played itself out on the football field. I'd love to see them get more creative. I think they have some athletes. Obviously, you and I were at the forefront of the Marcus Jones should play offense 2+ years ago. He's still dangerous with the ball in his hands, a team that could use more plays. I don't know why you wouldn't. But I also think some of it is in Schooler related out of necessity. You know, no Duggar, no Peppers. You're down a few numbers. You need somebody that can match up athletically, linebacker slash safety. It made sense. I don't think this means, oh my God, he's got a future as like a high-end defensive player. But it's nice to know that in a pinch, you can put him out there in spot duty, and maybe he won't crap all over himself. So yeah, the Longhorn package, if you want to come up with a couple others, now's the time for that. You're a bad roster and you're a bad team. So figure out what you got moving forward as you fill out the totality of roles on your roster.
And last but not least, the claiming of Yannick Ngakoue. Does that, how much sense now, does that make a ton of sense to you? Is that like we got a not as good, cheaper version of Matt Judon, like that just happened to be available? Do you, you're not making a playoff push. Everyone can pump the brakes on the new path. But like, does he come in here to try to teach other people like some tricks because he's got 70 something sacks in his NFL career? Is that just a why the hell not type of move? I'm curious for sure.
I don't really get it. If you're playing younger players, this doesn't seem to make sense. He's been a journeyman over the last few years, like
seven teams.
I'm going to guess he's a little bit of a malcontent. And I don't know if you noticed this, Fitzy. I don't think he wants to play for the Patriots. As of yesterday, he hadn't shown up yet. So he got claimed on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're into Monday. 5 days later, he hasn't shown up at Gillette Stadium. That tells me he doesn't really want to play for the Patriots. Gerard talked about
how he wants to go to a contender. He's being a front runner in that case.
Well, he left a contender, and I think that's part of it, in Baltimore. And I would tell the guy to go pound sand, but actually to punish him the most, I would do whatever. If I have to put him on a list, like did not report and you don't get to play again, go screw yourself. You're better than me. You're not better than me. You're a journeyman dink.
Yeah, that turns him into Hassan Reddick, who, by the way, has been signed by the Jets. And can I just take a moment? Hasn't it just been a wonderful Jets season?
Yeah.
It has just been getting their lips handed to them, as my dad used to always say, getting their balls served up on a silver platter.
Lips?
My God. That's, I don't know why he was just always used to say it like that.
I'm more familiar with, rhymes with pits.
Yeah, that one too. The Cardinals just throttling the Jets on. The Jets are a bigger mess than the Patriots right now.
Oh, way bigger. They don't have a head coach. They don't have a quarterback. Their owner is a ready, fire, aim, as Bill Belichick says. Like, yeah, they're a total mess. And it is enjoyable. That's the greatest achievement of you people in recent years, calling that, saying that in the end, the Jets will Jets. The Jets always Jets in the end. Well, the Jets Jets in the end. You guys nailed that. I bow down at the altar. Oh, you people.
Oh, we got all. Wow. Look at that. Andy finally gave it up to you people. There it is.
I acknowledge everything. When you're right, you're right. I acknowledge everything.
The Jets stink, and maybe, just maybe, the Red Sox will sign Juan Soto, and then we can just bathe in the entire offseason of New York sports tears. Wouldn't that be great? All right, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. As always, we appreciate each and every one of you that contribute live in the chat as we record the latest Six Rings and Football Things podcast.
Go F yourself, Jeff. Two Fs. Go double F yourself, Jeff.
across my socials and, of course, WEEI. Thanks for listening via Spotify, Apple Pods, the Odyssey app, or wherever you find your awesome football talk. Andy, of course, can be heard on the WEEI Afternoon Show. Give him a follow at Jumbo Heart. This is your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens at Fitzy GFY, saying thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back in a couple of days with a preview of the Ramajamas at the Drake Matriots and everything else that we can offer for analysis, information, and more. Take care, everybody. God bless. I'm going to go pound some deep dish in the fridge. And as always,
go Pats. Is that a euphemism?
Hey, now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.